Well, hello, girl.
Hey.
Hey, everyone. Today, I am welcoming you to From the Hip with Dawn Burks and Tawnell Hoffs. Today, Tawnell is off doing some family stuff. We're not going to talk about that. We talk about that enough. And I have Eva Marie Ayala here with me. She's an education reporter, and she's a girlfriend, too. So we're going to get down to it. Eva, what you thinking about today?
Oh, so many things, Chica, so many things. I really want to talk about Selena finally getting a star. What
I know,
is
right?
Up?
Well, you know, part of it is that a lot of people don't know with the Stars on the Walk of Fame that somebody has to pay for those.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, the society doesn't. But it always amazes me that it takes them that long to even be considered.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could have crowdfunded this.
No kidding, man. I would have put in my dollar, like, right
girl.
Then, just, where do I write my check?
I'll exactly.
Send it right now.
I'd have been like, I got five on it. Like, yeah. They could have done this 15 years ago.
No kidding. I mean, just in Northside alone in Fort Worth, I remember growing up when I was little, Selena used to play in Fort Worth at Marine Park, and we would go and hear her play. And I mean, just her stage presence,
yeah.
Her glamour.
I knew it.
She was my first Beyonce when we were little.
Right.
Like, she was out there just sexy as hell,
yeah.
Owning it. I mean, she was a diva.
And you know, I've always said that, and people laugh at me about it, but I always say that if Selena had not done what she did,
mm-hmm.
then Aaliyah couldn't have done what she did.
Exactly.
And then if Aaliyah didn't cross over like she did, then there would not be Beyonce. She
mm-hmm.
wouldn't have been able to break a lot of the barriers that she's been able
right,
to break.
Right.
So Selena like blasted that wide open for a certain age of singer. Because
mm-hmm.
Gloria Estefan, they give her a lot of credit for
it. Exactly.
But she was a different kind of
yeah,
singer.
She had a different kind of flavor, and I love Gloria.
Yeah, I mean, I do
don't
too.
Get me wrong. Like, oh, she's my girl. But Selena
yeah.
was more my generation. She's who I grew up with and who I knew. And like, you know, anytime I hear about Selena, I think about her songs, like going to quinceañeras and dancing my ass
yeah.
off. And, you know, going like daydreaming about boys. And
yeah.
like, you know, you hear that one song and it makes you think of that boy that lives down the street. And you're like, oh.
I got a lot of songs like that.
Right? So, I mean, that's Selena brings it home for me. And that crossover, you know, when she did her songs in English.
Yes.
Like, they released it. I think, did they release it just after she died?
I think
can't remember.
So.
It was
right
around
right
that same time. And it breaks my heart just to think of what she could have done, what
right.
other music she would have done.
Right.
You know, and I can't talk about Selena without mentioning my friend Francisco, who is like the number one Selena fan. And like one night he and I had this long alcohol-induced conversation on what would have happened if Selena would have lived.
Right.
Like,
it's
you know,
like you wrote an alternate history.
Exactly. It's like, yeah. you know, would she still be, you know, revered as she is now? Would she have this cult status? Or would she have gone on to reality TV?
Or
and
would
ruined,
she be Britney
you know?
Spears?
Exactly.
And still
exactly.
have cult status, but
mm-hmm.
have kind of,
yeah.
yeah, that.
Yeah, and I mean, I wish more than anything that she was still here and we could
yeah.
have more music. But
it's kind of how, yeah.
you know, you don't know what.
You don't. It's
yeah.
kind of how I feel about Aaliyah. She was so young,
uh-huh.
you know, and such a tragic accident.
Right.
And she was just about to take off.
Uh-huh.
Like, even in movies, she did
exactly.
Queen of the Damned and not even come out yet.
Uh-huh.
They had to get her brother to go in and dub her voice on some
mm-hmm.
of the parts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always think about, oh my gosh, if she had actually been able to promote that movie and hype that movie, because she was wonderful in it, you know?
It's just, it breaks my heart whenever you
yeah.
hear. And unfortunately, you see that too often
yeah,
with
do.
So many people. I mean, I'm still mourning Prince.
I know, girl.
I still can't talk about that yet.
Girl, I have such issues with Prince. And I told them when Muhammad Ali died, like soon after, I told them, I said, listen, I'm going to have to take a day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to have to take
exactly.
a day. I'll be professional after, but right now I'm just broke down.
Right. And I'm not going to lie. So I have an old school car that still has a 6-disc CD changer.
That's all right
it.
Right there.
And I only have 2 CDs in it. And one is Selena and one is Prince.
One is Prince. See?
It.
Ladies and gentlemen, America.
Right.
But speaking of America, so Jesse Williams, bless his heart.
Oh,
and I say bless his
heart.
Right. And I say bless his heart in not the Texas way. I'm saying thank you for just stating your mind. I don't care what you say, as long as you get up there and you're genuine and you're honest.
Right.
But
right.
I read that by now, I hope that all of you guys have listened to his speech or at least read the transcript.
Oh, it seems like almost everybody has.
It really does.
And if you haven't, I don't know where you've been.
Right. Because even if you don't agree with it, you might want to read it or watch it just so you can be in the know. Because, see, I know. I mean, I know that certain people, like members of the KKK, they get their jet. Because they need to know what's going on.
Exactly.
They need to know what they're fighting against. So even if you don't agree with it, I think you need to pay attention to what's being said. Because this is like this comes from a groundswell, I think, of a lot of artists right now who are not content just to be pretty faces on your
TV. Exactly, exactly. And boy, is he a pretty face. I mean,
he can ring me the
phone book if he wants to. I don't care what he has to say. what he talked about as far as, you know, mm-hmm. the racial frustrations that have been building for generations and generations. And, you know, in the last couple of years, especially, you've had all these police shootings that have taken a prominent stage. And, you know, you see so much frustrations on both sides, you know, from the African-American community. Who's like, you know, we're fed up with this. We want something done. And then from other folks who just don't understand. They don't come from that place.
Right.
They haven't had those experiences. And, you know, they're like, well, why don't people just obey the law? But it's so much more complex than
that. It's so much more complex than that. I mean, sometimes, and I'm getting real deep here, or not even deep.
Let me scoot back. Then.
Right, exactly. Just personal here. Mm-hmm. But sometimes my boyfriend can look at me and say, I'm going to go out for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
I have a twinge of fear.
Yep.
Just because I know people who have been stopped while walking and end up in lockup for seemingly nothing or for just something that they forgot about.
Right.
I mean, Texas is the first state I've ever lived in where a traffic ticket can become an arrest warrant. I've never lived anywhere like that. Like, you usually have to amass, like, I don't know, hundreds of traffic tickets before that happens. But I don't know if other people live with that fear, or I tend to think they don't.
You know, I think in the Latino community, there is some of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Less so for our Latinas.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I grew up in a poor neighborhood where I saw, you know, kids getting yelled at by police officers. And it's not that they weren't doing their job. You know, everyone's suspicious on both sides.
Right.
You
but
know?
There's a way you can talk to people.
Exactly.
I think part of the problem, I always like to say this, and I hope it's true. Gosh, or maybe I'm just Pollyanna. But part
you
of
look
the,
exactly like
my fro.
Yes.
I'm in full fro today, y'all. But
you're beautiful, honey.
Thank you, dear. Uh-huh. But I wish that beat cops would come back because then I know that resources are stretched and personnel is stretched.
Yep.
But if I see the same officer every day, even if it will help engender a trust between community and officer, or the same group of officers every day.
Right.
It will engender a trust that may not exist. And he'll also know that, okay, well, he walks this stretch of road every day, so I don't need to bother him because that's just him getting his exercise on.
Right.
Now, if you see somebody walking that stretch that you know doesn't live in that area, then, yeah, there's calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I
mm-hmm.
get that. So I think a lot, but Jesse, bless his heart, he just put it out plainly, and people acted like it was something new. Jesse's been spouting this stuff on Twitter for years.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. He is never quiet. And for people, what bothered me, what I found out later was that he continued talking in the media room afterward.
Oh.
They said when he went to the media room, the media actually stood up and clapped. They gave him a standing ovation when he made his way to the media room. And then he kept talking. He started delineating some of the things that he talked about. And it was just a really moving speech. I won't say powerful because it wasn't as if he was banging his hand on the lectern or anything.
Right. And I think what made it memorable was that it was so heartfelt.
Yeah.
At least, you know, that's the way I took it.
Right.
It wasn't somebody up there grandstanding, someone trying to get something. You know, it was just a pure source of frustration and a call to action.
Right. A pure expression of his frustration and a call to action, not from just people like him, but mm-hmm. other people,
I mean,
too.
He already had the award. He wasn't trying to get
He wasn't trying to get that award.
He was just... He wants to change the world, and I understand that frustration.
And he got the humanitarian award at the BET mm-hmm, Awards. Right. And what makes the platform he chose even grander was because the BET Awards, for the first time ever, was being broadcast over 12 different networks at the mm-hmm. same time. It mm-hmm. was being simulcast. And it was on networks. It was on Nickelodeon. It was on MTV. Yep. Yep. It was on Spike TV. It was on all of these networks that... have people watching them that don't even know where to find BET mm-hmm. on their dial. Mm-hmm. They don't even go there.
Right.
They're like, what is a BET? Mm-hmm. But they may have seen this. And if he even spurred one person to do one thing, then I call that a success. Mm-hmm. Now we got Stacey Dash opening her mouth.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, I am tired of giving her extra publicity.
I keep having to look her up because I forget who she is.
Exactly. Because uh-huh. you remember Gabrielle
Union. I was like, her. Right? Yeah, okay.
Gabrielle Union actually started that hashtag, who is Stacey Dash?
Uh-huh.
Because
talk about throwing shade, girl.
Yeah, girl. Uh-huh. She planted a whole tree up over that girl.
Heck yeah, she did.
But it's like, she said it was a slave on the Hollywood plantation. And all I have to say to her is, I'm rubber, you're glue. Because uh-huh. you seem to be one too. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's something that's kind of hard to swallow.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, so you have your opinions. You mm-hmm. say what you want. You don't agree with a man. That's fine. But calling him a plantation slave, come on, honey.
Like, just don't even.
I've stopped listening.
Right.
I've stopped listening. Whatever you have to say, no matter how valid it is, no matter what you want to say, that's all I've heard.
And I'm glad that it came and went just as quickly mm-hmm. because I think a lot of people did what you did. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know what? I'm turning you off now.
Mm-hmm.
I am turning you off now. I'm going to go back and see what's happening to my country.
Yes. it invalidates everything that you've had to say.
Right. It just completely does. And I've read, you know, I'm curious. I went to Fox News website and I read her blog and, Her blogs are nothing. They're like three sentences mm-hmm. of her just trying to glom onto whatever she thinks is relevant to the brown community at the moment.
Right.
And it's really getting tiring. She needs to go take several seats, you know, and take along the folks with her who decided to say that the only reason people were listening to Jesse Williams was because he was fair-skinned.
Oh, no.
Because he was light-skinned. I was like, so we're just going to devolve this into colorism now mm-hmm. is what we're going to do. Mm-mm. So with all the salient points he makes or all the discussion starters that he's propagating here, we're not going to talk about those. What we're going to do is we're going to say, oh, you're only listening to him because he's pretty with some green eyes.
And he is
or blue or whatever they are.
And he is pretty. And I will listen to him whatever he says.
And you know what?
But that doesn't invalidate what he mm-hmm. says either.
Because if Tyrese had gotten up there with his chocolate butt, I'd have listened to him too. I'm just saying mm-hmm. that, like love, color ain't got nothing to do with this.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
Exactly.
And then, oh my gosh, why are people jumping all over Justin Timberlake when he was like, he was agreeing mm-hmm. and people want to jump on him saying that he's one of the people. They're like, you're one of the people Jesse was talking about trading, you know, appropriating culture. The culture. Thing is that music right now in this moment, music trades off of music.
Exactly.
All of them trade
off each other. And that's why, you know, bringing it back to my girl, Selena.
Yep.
You see her. And like reflections of her in all kinds of music trends and fashion. Homegirls
oh my
making
gosh.
Clothes before it was the hip thing to do.
And she, everyone's costume now mm-hmm. for all the big ones, Rihanna, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, so on and so forth. All of their concert attire harkens back to what Selena was wearing back
exactly.
in the day.
Exactly.
All
Thank
of
you.
It.
Thank you.
I'm
all the glitter,
you.
All the glitter goes back to her.
Yeah, all of it.
Let it sparkle, baby.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I feel torn about it because the whole concept of cultural appropriation, it's like, when is it appropriation?
Right.
And when is it when honoring?
Is it, right. When
culture?
Is it homage and when is it appropriation?
And that's, you know, the complex, beautiful, messy thing that makes up, you know, America over here.
Yeah.
Because part of me can't help but feel a little jealous when I see other people talking about how great Selena is. And I was like, that's not your girl. That's my girl. What are you doing?
Right.
Why are you going to go get her MAC lipstick? They made that for me. That's my
right.
lipstick.
Right. That ain't yours.
Right. That belongs to me. She's mine.
How I used to feel about Lauryn Hill before she went off the left side.
Oh.
I still love her, though.
Yeah, you can.
I still love her. But, you know, there's... Okay. Now... On the things that have been giving me a headache this week. So
I should have brought my Advil.
I know. Girl, Tommy will tell you we need all sorts of Advil up here because Sneed give me a headache a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm just worried about when she stands up. I've been warned. Tanya warned me.
Look out.
I know.
Tommy took the soapbox out, so we're okay.
Okay,
but
good.
But listen, the governor of Maine.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, number one, I found out that he makes $70,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Maine's a pretty rich state. It ain't Florida.
It's not that big, though.
It ain't Georgia.
But it's tiny.
It got money, though.
It does.
Okay.
A little bit.
How your governor gonna make less than, I don't know, the manager of the deli at the Publix? Okay, maybe you don't have a Publix. The manager of the deli at whatever grocery store you have.
Uh-huh.
Number one. So much so that now the governor's wife just took a job. Eva, what's she doing?
She's a waitress.
She is a waitress. Tell me, you hear this madness.
Pulling double shifts.
How much does she make?
Pulling double shifts. It doesn't matter. She's a waitress pulling double shifts.
She's a waitress because she wants to buy an SUV. She wants to buy a car.
And she doesn't even want to. It's not like she wants a Lexus. It's not like she wants a BMW. This chick wants to buy a Toyota RAV4. And I'm surprised that some good old American ain't mad because she wants to buy a Japanese vehicle. I'm really surprised. Uh-huh. But that goes to something else. Isn't this one of the things that makes politicians sometimes do things that perhaps they shouldn't?
Yes, but I don't know. Part of me, deep down, I think this is a publicity stunt.
You think so?
It is all about the image. It is all
about, I hear this.
You know, deflecting stuff. Because I don't know if you saw in May, mm-hmm. John Oliver did a nice little piece that, you know, he does his things on people who he can't believe were elected. And guess who was the feature that month?
Maine governor.
Yep, the Maine governor. And he pulled out all these fun little quotes that the guy had to say. Like talking about drug dealers and drug addicts and how after they're done that before they leave, they often, quote, impregnate a white girl before they move on. Like,
okay.
What?
I take it all back. I got no sympathy.
What?
And you know what? Now that I think about it, one of her quotes was suspect. She actually said something about, I want to show people that I can work.
Oh, and another quote was that she always wanted to be a waitress.
Yeah.
Come on.
Really?
Now.
Really?
Always?
That was your dream as a kid.
Yeah. And like, not to knock on waitresses.
No.
They have a hard job. But
yeah.
That's why I don't want to do it, because I don't want to mess with people's food. I know you mess up somebody's order.
Right.
When they got the hangries. No, yeah. I don't want to be around.
I've been a waitress.
Exactly.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. I've been a barback. It's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've been a journalist. It's hard.
Work. Uh-huh.
But okay, now we saw this great story going from one extreme to the other.
Exactly.
We saw this great story, Pauline Leibart.
Oh my God.
Wasn't that amazing?
Oh my God. My heart just
exploded with love. This is a woman who is walking to Washington, D.C. and she's walking bare chested. She has she had a double mastectomy. Mm-hmm. And because of something else she has, they don't say what it is, she can't get full implants.
Mm-hmm.
So she's walking the country topless with her 8-year-old daughter.
Right.
She's pushing a stroller whenever her daughter gets tired to bring not awareness. She hates awareness.
Mm-hmm.
To make people talk about the realities that normal people face when they're diagnosed and having to be treated for cancer.
Exactly.
She says she started walking because she had to sell a car to pay for her treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to walk to the doctor, 5 miles to the doctor. She'd rest for a couple hours, then she'd walk 5 miles back home.
Ugh.
While undergoing cancer
treatment.
I know.
And it's so incredibly heartbreaking. I mean, cancer is such an expensive mm-hmm. and exhausting disease, you know.
Yes.
Anyone who's been unfortunate to have a family member who's gone through cancer has seen firsthand, you know, what a toll that takes on a person and an entire family. And for her to have the, you know, the strength, the inner strength to,
yes,
you know, stand up
thing.
And just, you know, walk across, I can't remember how many thousands of miles. It was like almost 1,800 miles,
right,
or something. I'm like, I can't imagine. And what a lesson she's teaching to her daughter.
Right.
You know.
And I love
and
that.
And I'm sure there's people who's going to criticize she's, you know, dragging her daughter across the country for her own self-image. No. I mean, it's about, you know, saying, look at the power that I have within me to do this.
She had a documentary crew for a while, but they put her and her daughter out on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so she doesn't have the publicity
right.
that she did have. But she's still doing it. She hasn't stopped.
Exactly.
And it's inspiring. It's just all those words you can think of like that. And all I could think about was people need help with this. Americans need help with this.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who moved to Canada some years ago, and all the bad things they want us to believe about universal health care.
Mm-hmm.
But I've watched him go through. He had a heart attack. He had cancer. He's been taken care of.
Wow.
Every one of those times.
Wow.
Even follow-ups, even, you know, and I don't see their government crowing about how, oh, this is awful. This is never going to work. This is, and I think the problem.
Are
with,
you a communist?
Huh?
Are you a communist?
Possibly.
Talking about universal health care.
Look, possibly. I could be a socialist sometimes. Sometimes I think maybe, but you know what? I'm a rightist. That's what I am.
I don't think the people on the right here are going to agree with you on that one.
I know they're not. Oh my God. I just want to see, I'm a treat people as you want to be treated is what I am.
Yeah.
If it's, you know,
I can sign up for that.
Yeah. If it's only right. I just feel like, through the collusion of insurance. Oh my goodness. What am I talking about?
Are we taking the SATs?
Look, I'm going to be sick soon. I know I am because I always am.
Right.
But I don't want my insurance company mad at me. But I feel like they've all kind of come together to make these drugs that people have almost impossible to get.
Oh, man, girl. I don't know if we have enough time to fix the healthcare
we
in the
don't.
Next 5 minutes or
whatever. I don't think
but,
we do either.
You know, it's, man, if we could only come up with a solution, you know, like Nobel Prize in our pocket.
Yeah.
Right there.
Right there.
And it's so frustrating because you see so many people out there who need it, you know, and it the access to basic healthcare kind of goes hand in hand with education, which I see, you know, every day on the beat.
Yes.
You know, you see kids out there who are hungry or aren't, you know,
right.
being able to have the medicine that they need for asthma or for whatever, you know, for diabetes. And that affects their ability to learn,
right.
which affects, you know, their future. And it's just incredibly heartbreaking to
So really, it would benefit the country to help. It would help even out the playing field a little bit. Just to feed someone, to make sure they ate so that they could perform at max capacity. We know everybody's not an honor scholar, but we want to at least let them be as good a scholar as they can be. And if you just feed them and if you just make it so they can breathe.
And that makes so much difference, you know, and more and more we're seeing all these different backpack programs.
Yes.
You know,
those are great.
Like the food banks in, you know, Dallas and Tarrant County and Collin County. You know, they have a lot of backpack programs where they send the kids home for the weekend, you know, with backpacks full of food. You know, they try to do it in a way where it's not conspicuous.
Right.
Where it doesn't stigmatize them.
Yeah.
Like, here's your backpack to take home. And, you know, it has a lot of good stuff in there. But, you know, you can only do so much through those programs.
Right.
You know, there has to be a sea change as far as, you know, policy and everything else. Right. And, you know, God, I wish I had the answer to fix all of that.
I know, me too. Sometimes I think I do. And
I mean, if they would just let us run the world and give us, like, you know, first let us have a spa day. Let us relax. Right. Decompress.
In fact, we'll come up with good ideas while we're decompressing.
And then, you know what? I think we should have a dinner with Jesse Williams as well. Yes. To, you know, bounce out some ideas. Jesse, you can reach me at eayala@dallasnews.com.
And Tyrese, you can come too.
Uh-huh. Right.
I'm still mad at Tyrese about the free concert that you put on one time in Washington, D.C. And you were mean to a girl on stage because she wasn't excited enough. But I give you a pass if you show up and talk to us.
Exactly. So we'll have our dinner.
Right.
We'll talk about the world problems. You know, we can invite the Pope.
Yeah.
Man, the Pope's been doing some stuff. Let's talk about the Pope, girl.
Honey, the Pope is back on it. This Pope right here is an OG for real.
Oh.
He say, y'all need to apologize to gay people right now, church.
Nah. Yeah. I mean, talk about jaw-dropping, you know.
Yes.
And, I mean, the Pope, I'm Catholic. I grew up Catholic. And, you know, I've had a lot of conflicted, you know, inner feelings about this, you know, growing up. You know,
Well, because you're taught one thing.
You're taught one
thing. But you see the realities of another.
Exactly. You know, I've had friends who really struggled with who they are, mm-hmm. who've, you know, contemplated suicide, who've been, you know, disowned by their families.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this really what the church wants from us?
Right.
It's very hard. It's very hard to understand that. And like, you know, John Paul II, you know, JP2, God bless him, you know.
Yeah.
He, you know, had compassion, but he would still, you know, stand it like, you know, this is immoral.
He would still toe the line.
You know, he would still say that. And Pope Benedict, you know, it's hard to make a German Pope kind of warm and fuzzy to begin with. So
that's,
you
just
know,
not in his makeup.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of the things that Pope Francis is saying isn't too far off from Pope Benedict.
Right.
It's just
he's more gregarious.
He's
the people's Pope.
But then he went there and he went further and he was like, no, it's time to apologize and it's time for Christians to, you know, to make up for what they've done, and, you know, and for the Christian church. And when he says the church, he means Christians individually.
Yeah. He means each and every one of you in your lives.
Exactly.
Because if you're going to have a personal relationship with God, then you need to have a personal relationship with the person next to you.
Exactly. And I know so many people who have left the church over, you know, this issue, and so many others who, for the first time in their lives, you know, have gone back to
Mass. They feel accepted.
They feel like, you know, like somebody is finally listening and, you know, seeing what love is out there.
He's everybody's Pope.
Yeah.
It's gotten to the point where he has transcended Catholicism.
Yes, he has.
He really has. And it's beautiful to see it, because I don't care what you believe in. Mm-hmm. I just like that people believe in something.
Yes. I mean, he's out there. He's being aggressive on so many issues, you know, getting out there, talking about, you know, making up for past sexual abuses of priests, talking about, you know, politics. I mean, world peace. Yes, the popes have always talked about world peace.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's doing it in such an impactful way.
And it feels like he's talking to the right people and
exactly.
He's making the correct move.
Exactly. And it's not just out there speaking. I mean, he's out there doing
stuff.
He's traveling the world. I mean, the Pope does that.
He gets up out of the Pope mobile and he goes to, you know, lay hands on people, to talk to people. And they feel like they've been there. I mean, they've been spoken to by him and through him by God. So
right.
It's he gives me the warm fuzzies. He does.
He does. I mean, the Catholic Church is still the Catholic Church. Is still, you know,
they're still making scary movies about the Catholic Church.
Exactly. There's, you know, my brother's forever going to have nightmares about nuns. There's not a lot you can do about that. But
remember that episode of, did you ever watch Orange is the New Black?
No, don't ruin it for me.
Okay,
I haven't gotten there. I watch things like 5 years after they're cool. Then I come in and say, I just finished watching Scandal. I'm almost caught up on Scandal. I just watched that for the first time. I was like, oh, this is what everyone's
Wait
been talking
minute.
About for 5 years.
You're catching up on Scandal as the rest of us are checking out.
I know. Don't tell me anything.
Okay,
don't
I won't tell you. It was an episode in the middle of the third season that I was going to talk about.
I've seen the third season. Okay,
I can just do overall then. Remember when they send the guard out because all the nuns are out there protesting?
Oh.
And he's like, like, I got problems with nuts. Like, he was having real issues.
Yeah.
And that's like a real thing. Like, I'm hearing you talk about it.
It is a real thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, so when, I'm glad my brother doesn't listen to this. So when we were little and we were going to CCD, to catechism, like every Saturday, his very first lesson that he went to, you know, I don't know exactly what was said, but the image he came out was, you got to be good or else the devil's going to come and get you. And so for 2 weeks, he dreamed about the devil coming to get him.
Oh, bless his heart.
And like, he gets so freaked out around nuns.
Oh, well,
like,
I could see that scarring him.
Yeah.
That would scar me.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Especially when they portray the devil. I mean, even the pictures of the devil are just like.
Yeah, see, I don't think Hollywood helps that much.
Well,
Hollywood kind of, you know, puts that whole.
Oh, they're doing better now. There's this show called Lucifer on the CW, and Lucifer is hot. He's good looking.
I might have to Google that.
His mama's pretty too.
Oh,
but everybody on the show is pretty. His brother's pretty. His brother's an angel.
Oh,
God is their father. Yeah,
well, I like looking at pretty angels.
Well,
that's nice.
it's a decent show because Lucifer is just a fallen angel, and so now he's living in LA, helping to solve crime and running a nightclub.
Oh. See, that sounds like a lot of work. I mean, doesn't Lucifer have enough to do? I mean, like, come on.
That's just it. He's taking a sabbatical. He left hell.
Oh, and so I guess everyone needs a vacation, right?
What his brother's trying to do is tell him, okay, you belong in hell. You got to go back. That's where daddy sent you. That's where you got to go.
Yeah, that
sounds
like fun.
It's based.
That's when you tag someone in. That seems like a job you want to rotate.
It does seem like a job you want to rotate.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, but who wants to rotate in and out of there?
Yeah, you know,
people, right? People blame the devil for so many things, and I'm always like, you know what? He's just doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
not like he can't go up,
right?
You know, he's got a serious glass ceiling.
Yeah, so no joke. No
right?
joke.
He just got to do what he got to do. Mm-hmm. He's not tempting you on GP.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
He
doesn't have a Twitter account.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's not Snapchatting you, telling Mm-mm. you to go do such and such.
Right. Right.
He's just taking you as you come. So bless. I really do think devil's just doing his job. Oh, Lord, they're going to come after me.
Oh,
did you see? I wanted to see. What are you watching on TV?
I am just finishing up. The most recent thing I'm watching is Jane the Virgin.
Well, it's really good.
Oh, my God. I love Jane the Virgin.
Now, if people will actually watch it, they will understand why she won the Best Actress Award at the Emmys.
Oh, she's so good.
She's so good.
She's so good. And it is so funny. And, man, I think the announcer for that show,
yes.
he is just everything.
He's hilarious.
Like, he makes that. Like, NPR did a story
on him. He's judgmental when he needs to be.
Yes, he's just so funny. He's so great. And I can't remember the guy's name. I'm so sorry. But NPR did a story on him recently. And he like records everything out of like his bedroom or something. he has a tiny little apartment. I was like, can we get the man some more money?
Nice,
like, he makes this show.
Nice job if you can get it, though.
Right?
I mean,
right?
really. Uh-huh. It's that same friend in Canada I was talking about. Gosh, Doug, you're just all over this today. Mm-hmm. He used to be a closed captioner for hockey games.
Oh, nice.
And he
nice.
Did it in his basement.
So are you Team Michael or Team Raphael?
I kind of just want to see where it goes. I think I'm Team Michael, though.
Oh, I'm Team Professor all the way. Team Professor. Wow.
It's just like the show is, here's my thing. Telenovelas seem to translate really well into big ratings on American television.
Yes. Girl, and like my Spanish is horrible, but I still like to see some telenovelas. And on Netflix, if you got some time to kill, go and look up La Usurpadora.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I don't know, from the 90s. And it's so bad. It's good. It is so bad. I mean, you have everything. You have. It's about two ladies that look alike. And one's rich and one's poor. And then they switch places.
Right.
And oh, it's just horrible. It's so great. It's so great.
But the ones that are great, great, not bad, great.
Uh-huh.
They, like Ugly Betty, a lot of people don't know. It was a telenovela first.
Right.
You got Jane the Virgin. I loved the NBC sitcom called Telenovela that was about filming a telenovela.
Right, right.
And it was hilarious to me, but I don't think it's gone now. It's going to be gone.
And
but
I think they're going to take my Latina card away because I never watched it.
Now you know that she is Saint Eva, so you have to watch her.
I know. She has my name. She's the second coolest Eva out there.
So. Right. Uh-huh. Second coolest. Uh-huh. But now, like, they've remade Lorena Del Sur,
mm-hmm.
and it's on USA, and it's called Queen of the South, and it was filmed right here in Dallas.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
It was, and last night.
Is that why I've been seeing it all over buses all over the place?
Yes. Because okay. it was filmed right here. So last night was the first time on an episode that you really got, it was only the second episode, that you really got to look at Dallas proper.
Oh,
and I
nice.
Think they're doing okay.
Nice.
They're doing okay. But it's really good. It's suspenseful. It's a drug series, which I know some people are taking issues with.
Yeah.
Taking issue with.
Because Dallas needs more of that, right?
Right, right, right. And not only that, a few Latinos uh-huh. are saying that.
That's the only time they ever
right,
highlight us.
Right, that's the only time they have.
Yeah,
right.
When we're the underbelly of society.
Right. Just like all the black people are mad now because why all the slave narratives?
Yes.
Because you know what? That's a part of the history. Mm-hmm. And it happened. We mm-hmm. can't pretend like it didn't. Because when you pretend like it didn't, then you allow other people to pretend like it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But those are two different things. So okay. I feel you.
Yep.
I feel you.
Yep.
Those are different things. But it's really well done. And I want everyone to watch it and then come to GuideLive.com and read my byline writing about it. Self-serving. That's what I do here at the end of the show.
And read all of my stories about education.
See?
Amazing.
See what I'm saying?
And
amazing.
You can tweet me at Eva Marie Ayala.
And y'all know where to find me. You know what? We're going to put this up on the website. I'm going to include all of Eva's information in there. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you're watching. And
yeah,
tell us.
I need something new to binge watch on.
See, I got some for, but she'll take it from y'all before she take it from me. See y'all later again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
all
you
right,
for
thanks,
tuning
Chica.
In to From the Hip. And thank you, Eva, for coming here.
That was fun.
On the spot, it was fun, huh?
All right.
Come back.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye.